All right, so I just pressed the button to record this conference. So what I want to say to people is that I can make this available for email. If you'd like a recording of tonight's teleconference, send me an email, heartofunity@gmail.com, and just say you'd like a recording from tonight, and I'm happy to send you out the information to download your own copy of this so you can experience and listen again to the conversation and even, you know, share it with people who couldn't make it onto the call tonight. So, Leela, I'm really, really happy that you're able to join us tonight, especially in light of the Me Day that you and I had together a couple of weeks back, which was so profound. I've never had somebody reflect so many of the same things back to me. It was just amazing. And, you know, I've been floating on a cloud ever since. It's just been phenomenal that somebody would get me in that way. Mm-hmm. I don't often come across that. So, you know, we have this wonderful, Magdalene, sacred feminine energy connection. And I think it's just so amazing, so wonderful. And, you know, it was an honor and a pleasure to be able to provide, a session for you and to receive one in return was just amazing. And I think we both experienced things in each other's session, you know, that were was really wonderful, including the fact that we are both so into spikenard.
Yes.
As my friends online know here, that spikenard, as I call it, my holy oil, is, you know, a very protective oil, is connects to the sacred feminine, specific to the Magdalene energies, as far as I'm concerned, and the heart chakra. And I've been using it for a number of years. So anyway, I'm going to let you introduce yourself. And I would love it. I've had a few people asking me questions about Akashic readings. And so maybe you want to take a few minutes to explain what some of that is so that people will understand when they're, when you're talking about it, they'll understand. And if they're, you know, choosing to, you know, pursue a session with you or something, then they easily can. So take it away.
Okay, thank you. Well, I want to thank you for inviting me to be here tonight and to share whatever it is I'm going to share with everyone. And just to give you a little bit of my background, I'm from New York and now living in wonderful Bancroft. And I started channeling back in the turn of the century just popped into my head, and it's like, oh yeah, it was the turn of the century back in the early 2000s. And that sounds so dramatic. And I was, I consciously wanted to open up to kind of experiment with this communicating with what I called at the time higher beings, because I was calling in, and I recommend this for anyone who wants to do this kind of exploration, of course, to just open up to receiving information from the highest vibrational energy possible. So it grew from there, and then it grew into, I was guided to do readings for people, psychic readings. And then from that, I heard about Akashic Record readings and, like, immediately said, I want to learn that. I want to know, what is that? I've heard of that. And so the Akashic Record, we each have one, and it is, it's like a vast library that contains everyone's soul information. And this is operating on the principle of that our souls are expressing different awarenesses in different timelines. And I'm talking, just to keep it simple, on planet Earth at the moment. When I do clearings, I am clearing energies that are present in people's Akashic Record pertaining to planet Earth. But that is with the understanding that I would say probably most of us come from other planetary systems, and it's my belief that even our DNA, our genes, our genealogy is a compilation of many different races of beings from other planets. So that's where I come from. That's the understanding that I approach this vastness with. And so when I tune into a person and call up, I go into the Akashic Records, I call up their record, and I look for what their gifts are on a soul level, what they came here to express, what their life lessons are. And then I also look into what is in the way of the free and complete flow of a person's soul vibration. And for myself, I've been working on clearing what is in the way of my being myself, which to me is embodying my soul, my soul's energy. And I feel like I've been consciously working on this clearing of this for probably 30 years. and we're getting to the point, I know all of us have been working on clearing, and
yeah.
We go deeper and deeper, and we're going into really deep layers now. Because what's happening that's helping us to do that is the very high vibrational energy that, in my understanding, is coming from the center of this universe that is just flowing through the entire universe, and we're feeling that. And so that is helping to bring us to a higher vibrational level and really flush out that which is denser, that which is coming up for clearing. And so the Akashic Record clearing reading that I do helps to really accelerate that soul growth that we're in. And it is, I need to correct myself. I don't feel that I am actually doing the clearing. I am doing the investigation as to what is there, and then I work with my client together. And the guides in the Akashic Record and my client's guides are actually, and some other helpers in the Akashic Records are facilitating that clearing. And so it's very powerful, and it is, it's something that lasts forever, which is really just, in my own experience, I have felt that energy is being lifted from me. And I remember at one point after I had my first Akashic Record clearing, about 2 weeks later, realizing that a certain feeling vibration was gone in my energy field. And I had this wonderful realization that I don't ever have to feel that again. It was very powerful. And and very gentle so that there's no healing crisis involved at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I also write, I've been writing the Vibe Report, as some of you may know, for many, many years. And they've been coming through a bit more slowly, although I am just about to publish a new one, which I'm really excited about. That should go up tomorrow. And in the last 2 years since 2012, I feel that we were birthed into a new experience, and a lot of us have probably been feeling like we're just sort of floating aimlessly. There's been a lot of messages coming through for me in the last 2 years about do nothing, as I'm in my head going, I don't know what to do anymore, and I kept getting the message, do nothing, just do nothing for now. So we were really in a time in the last couple of years of letting go, and then kind of reassessing where we're at and what is it we want to continue doing and what do we need to let go of. And now that we've turned the corner in 2015, it feels so powerful, like, wow, our feet are finally on the ground again and we can move forward. And that's probably why I have a new Vibe Report coming up. I don't know, if Monica, if you feel that way too, that there's like there's a path been cleared and now we're ready to move forward.
I am feeling that, and I think, too, that like we can talk about it in terms of higher energies, and then it plays out on an astrological playground as well. So this particular Mercury retrograde, full moon, all of the things that we experienced over the last 3 weeks, and Mercury is about to go direct speed on Wednesday. So it seems to have been allowing us the opportunity to bring up things, and not that we've had to bring anything up because it's just shown up in our faces quite plainly to see, but we've had this opportunity of retro going back and purging the last bits of things that might be slowing us down. And for me, it's been I called it a juicy astrological alignment, and for me, it's been just that. And I've enjoyed the process of exploring what comes up for me, even the difficult things, what comes up for me to be transformed. And it feels very much like that once this retrograde period is done. And I do know we have another alignment of something coming up on the 18th of February, and after that, you know, things are just going to start to sail, especially for those who have been doing their work. Like you said, you've been clearing for 30 years, and I kind of chuckled with that because, yeah, I've been doing my work for years and years and years too, and to me it feels like, finally, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the good stuff's just about to happen.
And the final, well, it probably isn't the final clearing, but maybe it is. But it seems like there's always something to working on. But there have been some really big issues for me that I feel are coming up, and that are, I'm able to love these aspects, and that just dissolves and releases so many triggers. Love,
mm-hmm.
good old love. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. And I find I've been able to be an observer in a sense. So something will arise for me, and because my intention is to make full use of this Mercury retrograde, that something will arise for me, and I'll kind of look at it. You know, I might engage it. My ego likes that. I might engage it a little bit and play in it. But at the same time, you know, there's an aspect of me that's really observing and going, oh, wow, here's this. Where did that come from? You know, and I, you know, start following it backward in my life. When else did I feel like this? And it's been really, really wonderful for exploring and moving things. So, I'm very excited for this year. And yeah, I agree. I might have said final clearing, but it's never final. But we can move a lot and, you know, clear the way. To me, it reminds me of feng shui. Clear out the old, make way for the new.
That just reminds me of something else I wanted to say about the aspect of clearing and clearing things in our Akashic record that can have to do with other lifetimes and such, so that we can embody our soul, like ensoul ourselves. I love that expression, en soul. And that's when we can live our genius, because I feel that we're all geniuses. We all have the potential to be that energized, creative genius that is our soul. So that's great. I mean, that's what we have to aim for in all this clearing stuff, you know.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I agree. And I can tell you that the session that I had with you a few weeks ago, I don't know if other people report it back this way, but for me, I tend to be very energetically sensitive. So I feel everything energetically, physically. And when I had that session with you, it was like we dropped into a space of no time. And I physically felt things move. I could visualize it when I closed my eyes, and I could physically feel things move. It was great.
Mm.
And, you know, being another service provider, I'm always, you know, assisting other people in their healing and in their journey. And, you know, so for me to take the time and do something for me like that, you know, is really wonderful to be able to experience and, you know, take the time to have a me day. And just so everybody knows, when Leela and I had our me day, Richard and my son Vlad, who's I left him visiting back in North Bay this week, Richard and my son Vlad went about their business and prepared us a beautiful lunch and and let us have our me day. It was quite awesome, wasn't it?
Yes, and then your cat Maeve planted herself on my lap the entire time, which was so wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was another fascinating thing is that, we, you know, we had so many things in common, you and I, right down to the two of us almost adopted the same cat from the rescue place.
Yes. I saw Maeve on Facebook, and I was just praying that someone would adopt her, and we weren't ready at that time.
Uh-huh.
And maybe she must have recognized my prayer energy or something, because she was
That's
all over me that
so
day.
So attached to you. Oh, that was fascinating. That was really wonderful. Yeah. So I just want to let everybody know, most of you have either heard from Leela herself or through my newsletter, you know, about tonight's call. But if anyone is needing to, Leela has a wonderful website, soultransitions.com. And if you lose track of any of that, you can feel free to email me, heartofunity@gmail.com, and I'll send you any contact information that you so want. And, of course, you can always find through Facebook at the Heart of Unity group. So this is a really interesting time because we're doing Mystic Monday. And another little hint here about me, it has two M's, Mystic and Monday, like Mary and Magdalene. I like to embed little things in there. So we're coming up to Valentine's Day on Saturday, and here we are, you know, embarking on a discussion around, you know, the sacred feminine, and I, too, have been channeling for a while, and Mary Magdalene is an energy that has come to me quite powerfully. She actually gave me the name Heart of Unity that I named my store after in North Bay, and was downloading me with information around the divine feminine, divine masculine, sacred sexuality, divine union, multidimensional DNA, all kinds of things that were going on, and also about the prophecies that are unfolding on the planet at this time. And so that was another common ground that Leela and I had together, was that energy. And so with this in mind, and, you know, Richard and I coming up on our soon-to-be six-year anniversary, so to speak, not that we're actually married, but we've been together a while. We were at the Enlightenment Intensive Retreat together 6 years ago during this weekend. and we connected not long after that. So it's a very magical time. And Richard wrote a wonderful article for those of you who read the email. If not, go to the heartofunity.com website under Richard's Ponderings, and he wrote a long article on love from his perspective and his experiences, and it fits right in, I think, with some of the conversation unfolding tonight. So anyway, I really wanted to, Leela, touch base on you know, what the sacred feminine is, you know, at this time on the planet, and, you know, where we're intended to be going with it. You know, there's been a lot of energy, especially the last century, in regard to women and women's movements and things like that, and women recognizing, you know, things like we want to vote, things like bra burning, and you know, all of these issues that came up, women's rights, and you know, so there's been a strong movement in that direction, which I think has been necessary as a part of the process unfolding. However, I was never fully in agreement with those things, in the sense that to me it was like a pendulum. Well, we've historically been, you know, a feminine energy that has been suppressed and you know, dominated by patriarchal masculine energy, but at the same time, you know, I could see where it's important to stand up for rights, but I was more interested in equality than fighting for anything. The equality spoke to me. And, you know, even I can remember in college sitting through, you know, courses on, as an example, the media and how the media affects, you know, violence against women and stuff like that. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, angry response in those classes, mostly from women, in regards to this. And my response is both sides are wounded. Both
Thank
sides
you.
Need to heal here. And
yeah,
I brought
that angry
up,
response comes from feeling like a victim.
Exactly, and we need to heal the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so for me, one of the examples I brought up is, you know, I said, we might be oppressed by media, but, you know, hey, guys in this class, how do you feel when a commercial comes on TV that makes you look like you don't have two brain cells to rub together? You can't handle looking after a child or cleaning a house and... You know, I said, it's just as insulting to you, too. So when are we all going to stop doing this and start, you know, stepping into who we are? So I was speaking like that in college, and that, of course, was before I had my big Kundalini awakening and all of that. But I was starting to speak up about it then, saying this is about balance. This is about equality. And if... And I'd love to hear your take on this, Leela. To me, if women are being, as an example, sexually oppressed and sexually exploited, targeted, raped, whatever, if we are experiencing that from the masculine, well, the masculine to me is just as damaged in that case. And so both need to heal. And so it might be our sisters, our mothers, our aunts, our friends, you know, the women in our life, our daughters, who are experiencing this at the hands of our fathers, our grandfathers, our brothers, our, you know, our male friends. And, you know, so when do we all, you know, seek to heal that within ourselves? And we all have masculine and feminine within ourselves. And to me, that's a part of what's happening with the divine feminine, the divine masculine. The feminine is, you know, returning. But in this case, to me, I feel like it's not to rule or to be the dominant energy, but I see it more as a partnering. The masculine and the feminine being equal and side by side in their fullest expression. So, what's your feeling on that, Leela?
Well, that's such a big subject. Sometimes subjects like this provoke more questions than answers or anything. But anyway, my feeling is when I hear you talk, I'm thinking about the pendulum swinging and how I believe there was a time where women were dominant, and that may have turned into a very manipulative situation, and then giving over to the male in agreement, like, okay, let's see where that takes us, that turned into maybe more suppression. And so we're at a point, and also I think when I think of the divine feminine, the divine masculine, I feel it's all divine, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is divine. And I've been thinking about when did this all begin anyway? You know, when did spirit become, you know, to know itself and to experience, to sort of become lots of little separate selves, you know? And
mm-hmm.
whenever that happened and what that was about, it created polarity, and masculine and feminine and is part of that polarity. And
mm-hmm.
so we're in a really beautiful time now, and it's going to, speaking of time, I feel like it's going to take a few generations from now to really begin to integrate into, like you say, a heart of unity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that part also is about recognizing the masculine and feminine energies within all of us, and definitely to move away from the blaming. I mean, there was what I remember back in the 70s, like so much anger, which lasted a really long time, anger towards the masculine. It's still there in some ways, but I don't buy into that anymore because, as you say, we're all wounded. And I was thinking about this afternoon, that we were going to talk about this tonight, and just feeling into, like, what does that look like in my inner sight, that blending and the dance of the masculine and feminine in harmony, maybe not so much balance, because I had this teacher, shiatsu teacher, explain one time, she drew a circle with a line through it and said, well, that's balance, but it's not moving, it's stagnant. And then she drew the yin-yang, and like that is the fluid balance. And
yes.
That's, I feel, what we're looking for. And
dynamic.
And so when, in that dance, when the female trips, the male, the masculine can help her regain her balance. And the same in the other direction, when the male trips, help regain the balance. And it's all done through love and respect and definitely getting out of victim consciousness and blaming.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's interesting the way it's been playing out. Like I would say, in the last few months, we've seen people being accused of, famous people, you know, like in Canada here, John Gomeshi, and then in the States, Bill Cosby, you know, for doing really abusive things with women, and we're looking at how the women feel like they'll just be more victimized if they speak out about it, because they're made to look like it's their fault.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been going on and on, so I feel like that's something that's really coming up for healing now. And
yeah.
That there's more of a consciousness regarding that aspect. I wonder, well, how many men or boys, you know, have also suffered abuse that they can't speak about? It's
yeah.
tragic. Mm.
If I could make a couple of comments around that, one aspect I feel is you know, there's I feel for a number of years now we've seen a growing disillusionment with icons, disillusionment with external authority, with I'll say the rock star type of icons, the spiritual rock star, the guru types, all of that. And I feel that what we're seeing more all the time is there's a public image that gets displayed, but behind the scenes, many of the people, the actual character of those people is nothing like what's being portrayed in the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a part of that is our that push toward the inner awakening and finding the guru within, as one friend of ours says, you know, finding that source within ourselves rather than looking outside and trying to live through the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. And rather than looking toward external authorities to tell us what the truth is, how we should be living or dressing or what, you know, setting the norms, that it's part of that whole system breaking down. And that's part of the whole conditioning of the species. It's across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that component?
Yeah, it's the emperor's new clothes. that phrase has been going over in my mind for months too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
being exposed and how nothing is what it's like appearing to be when it comes to media and
mm-hmm.
those kind of icons. So
yeah.
it comes back to us, and we're so media conscious. There's so many, you know, so-called heroes and heroines out there who are wearing the emperor's new clothes. So I think that we're beginning to really move away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank these two people I mentioned for being the ones to be part of that portrayal for us, whether it's conscious or unconscious or what, you know, on some level, on their soul level, they've done a really good service and kind of a, you know, backwards
mm-hmm.
way, but I just
yeah.
think it's important to appreciate appreciate everything. You know what I mean? It's
you know what I find helpful in looking at situations like that, because for some people, they, you know, it's something that really creates an emotional charge. But what helps for me when I'm looking at situations like that is the fact that I know we've been here more than once. And all the world's a stage, and we're all actors. And our soul keeps trying on different characters in our play,
mm-hmm.
so that we can have a fullness of experience. And so, when I look at it that way, it's easier to look at it without the same emotional charge, you know. Or you know, I don't judge things in the same way when I can look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I might have done something like that in a lifetime, too.
Yeah.
You know? Not that I'd be proud of it, but, you know, I mean, we've all been on different sides. We've all been victims. We've all been perpetrators, you know, at different times. And, you know, now we're headed into a unique new time, I think. And, you know, the two that you mentioned, Giomeshi and Cosby, you know, that's a symptom of something that is coming up for us as a collective to heal.
Yeah.
And move past, you know, and start doing things differently. It's time to start doing things differently. I get like my soul's urging me that way, you know, pushing me that way to do things differently.
I feel it's also you know, pushing the pushing individuals to a point of where do we stand. There's been a lot of polarization for many years encouraged by the media. There's also been a lot of liberalization, again, by the media, where it's, you know, anything goes, that's okay, and just a moving away from any sort of deep sense of having responsibility in relation to how we treat each other and in relation to how we are within society and even within the family. And I just happened to catch a little bit, because normally I don't get it very well up here, just happened to catch a bit. I was waiting for Coast to Coast to start up, and it was CFRB in Toronto, and they were talking specifically about Bill Cosby, and just asking the listening audience about, well, you know, if are you going to see him when he's here in Ontario? And if so, why or why not? And I thought it was quite interesting that one person called in and said, you know, if I had tickets, I'd go. He's funny, you know, and I want to laugh. And the host said, well, you understand that you would then be supporting this. And the comment back was, well, he hasn't been convicted. That's up to the courts. And again, the host came back and said, well, you know, I don't know absolutely whether these allegations are true, but he said the evidence is pretty overwhelming that they are true, including one woman who called up him specifically, the host, just so that he would know what the truth was. And he said he knows for a fact this woman is a multimillionaireess, self-made, and she had another story about Cosby, the same kind of thing again. And he said she has no gain in this from a public perspective. There's no money in it for her. She doesn't want her name put on the air. She didn't want anything about her revealed. She just wanted him to know from someone who's had a personal experience with Cosby that this is true. And so his comment back to this caller was, we're voting by where we put our dollars. We're voting by what we put our attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is steering society.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going, well, you know, it wasn't me he hurt, so he's funny, I'm going to go see him. Well, that's making a statement. It's not only financially supporting him, but it's also making a statement energetically within society that I'm okay with that, as long as I didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's this really strong movement that's growing toward a social responsibility and a greater responsibility toward, you know, where do you really stand? Is it okay just to stand nowhere and go, oh, well, you know, as long as I'm not being hurt, it's all okay? Where are you with that one?
Well, I have, I feel that if we don't say anything, we are agreeing in some way with something, whatever situation it is, and that I agree with you that we do need to be clear in ourselves as to where we stand and how we feel about things. If somebody is talking to you about, you know, in a real misogynistic way or a racist way, and you just listen and you're horrified but you don't say anything,
mm-hmm.
It's as if you're agreeing with them.
Yes.
That's how it looks to me. So.
Yeah.
And it's hard because being a woman, I was brought up to be a polite little girl and don't make waves, don't speak out. So sometimes I really have to, it's all about being present in your now moment and being very present in what's happening in the moment so that you can speak up with clarity and, you know, with love about whatever the situation is that you're in. So, you know, I'm not that I want to keep talking about Bill Cosby, but I was very disappointed to hear all that. I saw him a few years ago, and he had me laughing so hard there were tears streaming down my face, and I was just, I loved that guy, but what did I love? I don't know. I mean, I don't know him, so I guess I can't, I don't really want to be passing judgment either, but just observing, like, oh, isn't this interesting?
Yeah.
Oh.
But what's interesting to me is that, you know, we can look at this in so many other ways. We can look at what's happening with governments, what's happening with militaries and, you know, and corporations and things around the world. But it feels like, we're reaching a point of chaos, and out of the chaos comes order. That's a part of the prophecy unfolding too, and that, you know, it is like the pendulum swing. I use that analogy often. And, you know, we're coming to a point of, really needing to awaken, you know, to understanding, to seeing how connected we are to all things. And we're finding that through the very disconnect that is apparent and showing itself, that we're waking up at levels that, to me it feels like we're a fast-moving locomotive, you know, or a fast-moving car, foot's on the gas, and as a collective, you know, we're waking up more and more each day, And so I think it's important not to focus too much on news and things like that, but because what we're witnessing is the last great hurrah of an old energy, an old paradigm that is, you know, going to be passé, it's going out. And to me, where this is all coming from is that there's an energy, you know, in the cosmos, there's an energy coming through that is, you know, affecting us profoundly, helping us to awaken. And interesting, what I was just thinking about a few minutes ago is, you know, when we go to these Friday night teachings with the elders in Peterborough, and they're record keepers, so they've been carrying the underground knowledge of the First Nations peoples here, you know, for hundreds of years. It went underground. And something that they talked about in when they were teaching about prophecies and things like that is that there was, too, in their history, a time where it truly was feminine. And there were 32 prophets in their teachings. There were 32 prophets that walked the earth at that time giving teachings, and they were all feminine. And that time frame passed, and then we came into a more dominant male patriarchal system. And at that time, when that changeover happened, there were 32 male prophets around the world, and we would recognize those ones more because they're more recent in our history, and we're still in patriarchal energy, so we would recognize those as Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha, and, you know, so on like that. And that at this time, in their teachings and their prophecies, between the time of the seventh and eighth fires, or the seventh and eighth prophecies, so the seventh prophecy ended the end of 1999, and the year 2000 is the start of the eighth fire prophecy, is that in this time there are 64 prophets walking the earth plane in pairs, 32 men, 32 women. And to me, that spoke very much to what I was feeling, what was coming in through Mary Magdalene, you know, and the other energies that I was channeling, is that, you know, this was about balance. And I love the yin-yang. I use that symbol often. It's a fluid motion, and it's about the masculine and feminine coming up as equals now. And we are in that movement toward that right now. And to me, that's really exciting. So what do you think?
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. I feel that, and I think you're right that these aspects that we're seeing coming up for clearing in these famous people that we don't want to keep talking about. So, and we are, so the very high vibrational energies that have been coming through, in my understanding, from the center of the universe, are pulsing us, and that this has been going on for I don't know how many years. Along, it's been very gradual build up, and now it feels like these pulses are coming in. If you can think of it like waves of water, they're coming in much more rapidly, and that's why this clearing has become so accelerated. And I've been writing about this, about that we're at a boiling point, and it's like the dross is being cooked off. And so what we're talking about, that denser energy is being cooked off. It's happening inside of us, and it's happening to our planet and the other planets in the solar system, and obviously out in the bigger picture of the world. And when I see, and I don't really watch the news, but you kind of can't escape seeing what's going on within governments, and I'm continually astounded at what these psychopathic people are coming up with next. It's like,
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
You've mentioned exactly the term that I was thinking.
Psychopathic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something recently someone posted on Facebook was a video of some people in a refugee camp. I think it was in Afghanistan. And it was this young man, probably 18 or 19 years old, and all these people standing around him, and he's just ranting, like, we have no water, we have no food, we just want to be with our families, and I haven't seen my father, and he's just going on, and he started weeping, and I started weeping, and it was like, oh my God, I live in such a, so removed from these things that are happening to people in the world, but, you know, we're all connected, and it's like that the Ubuntu, you know, if one person's starving, we're all starving. And I think we're coming into realizing that more and more fully. And so as I was watching this young man, I was just sending him and all those people like waves of love. And then I had this realization that, you know, I don't need to feel so helpless because that's a terrible feeling. But just to, I wrote this something about sending out waves of love and adding love to love so that it builds like a tidal wave and wipes out that psychopathic vibration from the planet. But I really believe that's actually what we can consciously do as we learn to love ourselves and work with energy and send love out to the world whenever we see those areas of disturbance, because it's true, it really works. And there's so many of us that are like online, so to speak, now with this healing process that we're in, that when we tune into love and we're tuning into the collective consciousness and we're loving together, that we are adding love to love. It's so beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, very much. I feel that what we're seeing with the exposing of certain of our icons, this is simply part of the whole process. That there's we see more and more whistleblowers. We see the reporting of how the NSA has been invading everyone's privacy and continues to do so. And what I feel is that what was building since about the 60s is greater and greater levels of invasion of privacy, more and more levels of control and domination across the planet, but in rather subtle ways. And that part of that has been the growing movement that lying is okay. It was Lauren Gorgeau and Lisa Renee recently who both said, you know, lying's not okay. This is not in alignment with Source. This is not in alignment with who we truly are. It is in alignment with the dark side. And that, I feel that this, all of this is part of the truth coming to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for each individually and collectively to see what's really going on. Not what the media here reports, but what's actually happening in the world, and of course also in that sense with ourselves in our own families, in our own lives, and just coming to that place of the greater awakening to truth, which can be a little bit painful, certainly especially at the beginning and at certain times, but it's a necessary part of growing into the greater living, the greater realization and living of who we truly are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how does that come up for you? Have we still got you?
Yeah, no, I'm just I don't know if I can even add anything to it. That's how is that coming up for me? It's just in my own little life experience of really looking at what my wounds are. They're making themselves known, and that wound comes back all the time to unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure about all those lying liars, but because I think a lot of them are psychopathic, and I just feel like they don't feel any empathy. They don't feel, I don't know what they feel, but it doesn't seem like they feel much compassion for people of the world. So, but as we live our own lives consciously, respectfully, it always comes down to self-respect and consciousness and self-love. It always comes home. I'm tapping my own chest as I'm saying this. This is where it begins. So that's all we can do is take care of our own garden and be sure that we are telling the truth. And I mean, you know, sometimes we all lie in these weird ways of, like, not speaking out. That's sort of a form of a lie, not speaking our truth, or just the day-to-day superficiality. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. You know, not that we need to go into our stuff, but I don't know. It's just like, how do we lie with a little smile on our face, not consciously, but just trying to be, I don't know, polite or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm rambling, but that's it just made me think of that. How I need to look at that. Like, how is it that sometimes I might sort of go into not speaking my truth because I'm afraid, because I don't agree with what that person's saying, and I'm afraid to gently speak how it seems to me. And so when I don't do that, I'm I'm lying. I'm lying to myself. So that's on a real personal level. That's something that I'm really being mindful of these days. Mm-hmm. So,
my interaction with beings on a higher vibrational level, certainly as I've interacted at least in my experience with beings beyond space and time, the entire notion of not being genuine, it just doesn't even exist. They're constantly reading the field of any other being. They know exactly the nature of that being, and it seems to me that this is what we're being pushed toward, is that being genuine, being more of the fullness of who we truly are as a soul being.
Yeah, and it's okay, and I feel that there will come a time where, however it's going to happen, like a collective consciousness true awakening, where we become each other, even if it's just for a flash of a second, like we blend and we really become one, and then we're back in with our individuality, our individual soul vibration intact, of course, and then we come back into our bodies, into our life, but we will never be the same. We'll never be able to lie to ourselves or anyone else. We look at each other, we see the truth, we see one another in each other's eyes. I feel like that's a possibility for human evolution. Telepathically, being able to, how could we ever lie again? Why would we ever even want to? It wouldn't be necessary.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little girl, I used to have these weird thoughts and, learning about driving in the car with my parents, and there's a red light and you stop, or there's a stop sign and you stop. No, it had to do with red lights and green lights. And I remember thinking but people should just know when it's their turn to go.
Yes.
Because then that's the flow.
Yes.
You're not from around these parts, Leela.
No, I'm not. Clearly.
That's so, where it is in your home.
I'm curious, when you're doing the past life work with people and so on, what is it, what do you find happens with that? How are their lives changed? And so I can see one aspect where there is remembrance of certain experiences which allow them to realize why they're holding certain patterns, possibly releasing that. And I'm also curious in relation to the idea of soul retrieval or something along that line. So I'm wondering if you could perhaps talk a bit about that in terms of your experience.
Okay, well, I it's probably similar to soul retrieval, although I haven't done that kind of work. But I've talked to people who practice shamanic, I'm thinking people who have shamanic tendencies to, you know, it's a different kind of practice, but it sounds very similar. So anyway, I assist in the removal of like an energetic vibration that is usually vibrating at, let's say, I'll tune in and I'll look for what is the resonance of this. It could be an entity attachment or a spell or a curse or an implant. What is the resonance of that? And, for example, withholding might come up. It does come up often when someone has something blocking at their third eye. There's some part that is withholding the fact that they're very psychic or they can, intuitive. Or there could be a energetic vibration that is vibrating at the with self-doubt. So when these aspects get removed, and there's often a story involved. It helps for people to know what the story is, how that got there. Sometimes they tell me, which is really cool, because obviously they're ready to let it go and they know it's there. But if the story comes to me and I share it with them, that also helps them to release it. And so it's like that feeling I described earlier about all of a sudden having this realization that you don't ever have to feel that feeling again. And sometimes it might be something you didn't even know was in your energy field until it was gone. So you feel lighter and then freer. But sometimes in the initial couple of weeks after a clearing, a person's life can sort of feel disoriented. The person could feel disoriented, or they may be experiencing some chaotic energies in their lives, because mm-hmm. when something that powerful is removed, everything else in their life needs to reassemble itself, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So...
Yeah, that makes
did that answer your question?
Sure. Yeah. I basically wanted you to speak a bit about the work that you do and you did make some mention of different aspects and the effect that can have in your client's life.
Yeah, and I mean there are things that come up from this present lifetime, and I don't like the term past lives, because of the sense I have of everything happening at once in different timelines. So I see our soul, just for example, like a circle with lines radiating out from it, like a child's drawing of the sun. And at the end of each line would be another smaller circle. That's all these different lifetimes that the soul in the center is sending out consciousness into and having all these different experiences. And I'm really curious as to why am I focused in this timeline, in this lifetime, and I feel like when I do this work that an opportunity for clearing is coming up in all those other lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
right? So to enable the soul to fully embody in every lifetime. So then theoretically, wouldn't that change the so-called past? I don't have an answer to that. I'm really curious about it, though, because I feel like the reason that we're here in this timeline, it feels like it's very pivotal in the evolution of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's very hard to put into words. I'm getting to that, the edge, the frontier of, there are no words for this. but that we're all focused here for a particular reason that many of us come have come into this particular timeline to help guide humanity in a direction that will be more evolutionary and continue to grow. It's as if in this timeline there was a turn that was made that led to entropy. What, entropy, is that the right word? Or led to stagnation.
Entropy.
So we're going into, we have an opportunity to go in another direction, and that, yeah, so I think this work helps guide us to that so that we could live joyfully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what about that? Like, how many of us really know what joy feels like, or how many glimpses have we had in our life? And then there are these other aspects of love, like bliss and ecstasy without drugs, you know? And I'm not sure I've felt those. And I've heard that we don't even, we're like barely at the tip of the iceberg of what love really feels like. So that's pretty an amazing thing to contemplate.
Uh-huh. Coming up Valentine's Day. Yeah. And I love this. I love that my feeling is through all of this, we are headed into a beautiful fluid dance between the masculine and the feminine within ourselves and within the greater context with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ultimately that's where we're intended to be going. And yes, your work and my work and Richard's work are all things that, you know, help in that movement, in that direction. And so what I would like to do now, because we've been holding everybody back in suspense all this time, is in a moment I'll take the mute off, and then we'll get people to, you know, comment and ask questions. But I did want to share with the group very quickly before I do that. So we launched our first guided meditation CD, myself and my son Vlad, who's a very gifted musical young man. And there is a part in that meditation, for those of you who have listened to it, you already know, there's a part in the meditation where you go into your sacred garden, which is going into your heart center, and then there's all this emerald green that forms into trees and, you know, wonderful things. It's called Journey to the Crystal Temple. And so in the Crystal Temple, you know, you can experience healing and, you know, connect to guides and such. And the beautiful thing is yesterday, Leela had a client, and then Richard and I went into town the other day. Was that yesterday? Day before?
Saturday.
We went into town to have lunch with this same client, so a friend of ours. And we go to this Chinese restaurant in town, and they have the most profound fortune cookies ever. And they always are really deep, and, you know, I don't know who writes these for this, only at this restaurant. But it says, my fortune cookie said, keep a green tree in your heart, and one day the singing bird will come. And I just thought that was so absolutely profound, seeing as how we had just launched this guided meditation CD, and for once I got to actually listen to it and experience one of my own meditations, which was really wonderful and profound, and I really enjoyed that. So I just wanted to share that because it was neat, and I like to share with my friends.
And it's a beautiful guided meditation. I have it myself, and Vlad is an amazing musician. It just flowed so beautifully with his music and your guidance. Wonderful.
And he put singing birds in the sacred garden.
That's right.
Isn't that sweet, eh? Yeah. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. And I'm really glad you enjoyed the meditation too, Leela. That was lovely to get your feedback. I'm always interested to hear, you know, feedback from other people. It helps me, you know, make sure I'm on track with things. So anyway, I'm going to remove the mute. And if anyone has questions for Leela, myself, or Richard, then, you know, or comments even, doesn't have to be a question, could be a comment, then, you know, feel free to try and go one at a time. Unmute yourself by pressing star 6, and then mute yourself again when you're done by pressing star 6. So here we go. I'll unmute everybody. Oops. There we go. All callers are unmuted. All right. So anyone, I think I actually had everybody unmuted already. I don't know what, but anyway, if anyone has a question or a comment, go ahead and bring it forward.
It's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. I was just wondering about, you said something was coming up astrologically on February 18th.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to know what that is.
Ah, okay. You know what? What I'm probably going to recommend you do, February 18th, it didn't seem to me, I read about it a while back, so it didn't seem to me that this was going to be a very big deal, but just one that might be feeling a little slow.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't have the information right in front of me at this moment, but what I will tell you to do is go to a website called astrologyzone.com and read your free monthly forecast. And if that alignment, you know, is impacting you, it'll show you how. So I always love giving people some links to read up on and homework to do. So, again, that's astrologyzone.com. And anyone listening can send me an email at heartofunity@gmail.com at any time and ask me what was that website again or whatever, and I'll happily send you some links. Or other resources, too, because I like to share. Yeah, but that's all I know about that at this time, Jamie. I just brought it up because
okay,
I remember.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm looking through some stuff I have. I might have, so I'll just keep looking. I might have some information about that.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so you can keep going on, and if it pops in and I can add it to our talk, I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that, Leela.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Jamie, you'd mentioned in an email earlier you might have a question or something about Richard's article on love.
I don't have anything written right now.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. You know, actually, you can, if you like, you can give us a call tomorrow. Maybe late morning.
Okay, I will.
At the house here, and as far as I know at this point, my morning is still free. So, yeah, so if you were to call us around 11 o'clock tomorrow, we can chit-chat about that.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, for sure. And you can ask Richard whatever questions you want about the article. I thought it was an interesting one as well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. So do you have any other questions or comments, Jamie?
Thank you, Leela. That was great. And I just, there were a few things that popped in. Just the worthiness was a big one that really stood out as being something that I need to look into, like for being healed, and then just learning how to be one. So like you were saying about talking about the psychopaths and everything, like I just want to learn how to be one with everyone kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to be, like I said, publishing my vibe report probably tomorrow, because it's just about written. I just have to go over it one more time. So that I talk about a lot of the stuff that I talked about tonight in that about the unworthiness that's come up. And then I was thinking today about what we were going to talk about and the divine feminine and the divine masculine, and then realizing it's all divine. Even the psychopaths are divine. I mean, they're a life force energy. So what do we do with that, you know? It's just... I just thought I'd throw that out there. I don't have an answer on that at all, but just, you know, it's all divine. The divine life force energy flows through everything. Well, it's flowing through all of life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's what you do with it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can't feel love, well, then that's their choice to sort of not evolve, is how I see it. And I'm interrupting you, Richard, but you go on.
There's a couple of things that come up. One is quite a number of years back, I was having quite a challenge around evil and just the whole idea of why that evil shouldn't exist. And I finally concluded that in my world, evil did exist. And apparently in at least a few other people's worlds as well. And what I came to at that time was, well, the feeling that came up was nothing can exist if it's not supported by Source, if there's not something of Source that is supporting it, it just wouldn't be. And so therefore, the fact that it was a fact for me, it is a fact that for me, that evil exists. So I honor that other people may say that evil doesn't exist, and that's fine if that's how it is in their world. But in my world, then, since evil exists, there must be something in that that is, it must be supported by Source. I may not know exactly why, I may not know all what's around that, but it must be supported by Source. So then what I need to do is come to my position around it in terms of my interaction. And my feeling around it is we can move more all the time toward what it is that we feel resonance with, toward what it is that we desire, and allow the rest to fall away. The more we get into resistance, the more we get into battling what we don't like, don't want, think shouldn't be, the more that whole system is strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I started significantly reorienting myself was, okay, then what I need to do is to lend my support, my energy, my attention to what it is that is in alignment for me. My feeling is that, you know, if we start doing that on a planet-wide level, it won't be very long before the psychopaths, etc., they won't have a place to practice.
Right.
Because there won't be enough people around supporting them to give them any power. Because it's we, the people, who actually give them power.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would have no power. We just laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Well, we send them love bombs.
Sincere
love, not, you know.
Yeah.
Because that vibration cannot survive where love is.
Absolutely.
Right. Love bombs. I love it.
That's
bombs.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, exactly that comment, not love bombs, was made by Gerald O'Donnell a while back.
He said,
so what would happen if we loved the politicians, real love, the spiritual love, not the human emotional type stuff, but the deep stuff? And he said, well, you know, chances are they wouldn't be able to stay that way any longer. Either they'd get out of office and others would come in, or they would change. So, yeah, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
so
yeah.
My feeling is that's what Jesus was talking about that is reported in the Bible. He wasn't talking about the emotional love. He was talking about the deep factual aspect as an aspect of consciousness.
Mm.
Go ahead.
So just very quickly, I did find, too, something on February 18th. So we have a new moon on the 18th, which is also always good for planting seeds for, you know, what we want to manifest and create. But we have Saturn, from what I can see, is in a hard angle to the new moon, which means it'll just slow down our progression. So, So how that affects each person's chart will be individually. On mine, it says my new moon will open a new financial path for weeks and months to come, but that Saturn's in hard angle to my new moon, which will throw a little bit of red tape in. It'll hold things up a bit longer. But when things like that happen, it's always for a good reason. It's so you can tweak it up and learn something. So
yeah, Saturn's always about, like, really? Is your foundation really strong enough? Are you sure? Look at everything. You know, it's kind of the taskmaster in that way.
The taskmaster, yes. Absolutely. So that's what the 18th is all about. Yeah,
okay.
Now we have that one more specifically. But I still recommend people go on to astrologyzone.com, read the monthly forecast. I've been doing it on that site for years, and I've been learning so much. And it's probably one of the more accurate, for me, sites that I've found to deal with astrology. So I check my monthly forecast every month. What are they saying now? Yeah, it's really great. So. Yeah, so are there
awesome.
More questions, comments out there from anybody? Anything at all? It's quiet out there.
That's a pretty quiet group.
Yeah. They must be digesting a whole lot. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Perhaps it's one of those bigger meals.
Yes, for reflecting on.
Well, certainly if anyone wants to jump in, please just interrupt and jump in. The other part that I was going to comment was a couple of friends of ours hold an attitude that anything that they're uncomfortable with really represents an aspect of themselves that they haven't allowed yet, that they haven't embraced. And so whenever something uncomfortable comes up, especially in relation to the behavior of others, whether it's, on a large scale like government or just in a personal relationship, wherever it comes up, then that intensifies their looking within to find what is it within themselves that they are still trying to hold away from their awareness. And I find that a very powerful approach.
Mm-hmm. Tantra actually speaks of things on that level. And so Tantra is a way of life. So people commonly associate Tantra with sex. and there is a tantric practice with sex, which is also a relation of the divine feminine and masculine. And but there's, with the Tantra is also a way of being with and embracing, you know, whatever just is, just being with it and allowing transformation to happen in that way. And interestingly enough, the information that I was channeling through a number of years ago from Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine energies, I think spoke a little bit about that too, about the, you know, when we, our intention, or what is intended on a grander scale is for us to heal, to balance ourselves individually, the masculine and feminine within. And so that's what I call, you know, the inner garden is where we come to wholeness within. That's where our Garden of Eden is, in the heart chakra, in the center. when we come to wholeness with ourselves, then the partner that we attract in reflects that, you know, that wholeness. And when two beings come together in relation as two whole, healed beings, which is our goal, then the energy created through that is quite profound and quite magical. But the road to get there, I call it spiritual alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the road to get there is to heal ourselves, to transform limiting things. And, you know, of course, the, you know, Akashic clearing is a wonderful pathway to help get there.
Yeah, I've seen it like it's like Velcro. So like
mm-hmm.
like in our energy field, we could have the Velcro receiver of doubt. That's just coming up. And so the doubt out there in the world will be the sort of the attachment to that, so that it will draw to us experiences that mirror that doubt or that provoke doubt.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So that's the Velcro. Like, I've got the Velcro receiver in my energy field. And,
yeah.
You know, the work I do, and there's all kinds of work, energy work, all kinds of things that people are doing that help to diffuse the receiver that we're carrying so that we can create new receivers for love and greater love, and then bring that into our energy field and really blossom. And I feel like that's where we're headed.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that Velcro analogy. That's great. We've got to heal our Velcro.
Well, we're transmitters and receivers, so we transmit energy. And if we're transmitting, you know, whatever, I keep coming up with doubt, but it could be anything, then we're going to be receiving it as well.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then, so we get to the point, the more we clear whatever it is,
uh-huh.
That we can start transmitting, well, and we do that right now. We're transmitting love as well. And because of these high vibrational energies that are coming in, pulsing in faster and faster, we're also manifesting much more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that incredible message in the fortune cookie, you know, I mean, little things,
oh, yeah.
Bigger things. It's, I just feel like... you know, that's why we have to be really mindful of what we ask for, you know.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, because we're going to
yeah.
get it.
Yeah. So.
My feeling is that there is an impulse, an intention and an impulse that's coming from the very core of our being, coming from Source. And that this is about a fundamental change of direction, a fundamental change of attention. And the thrust of the movement in consciousness has been outward, has been toward creating, toward directing attention out into the creation. It's been very much attention directed away from our sender, away from the source within, that essence. And that we're at a point where that is turning around, and we're being impulsed to direct attention inward. We're being impulsed to awaken, and that this is really a fundamental shift. That we're not just us. I mean, not just this species,
mm-hmm.
but all of consciousness is being reoriented. Do you have any comments on that, Leah?
I feel like that's exactly the divine feminine, that you like the pulsing outward is the divine masculine, and the pulsing inward would be the divine feminine. So that's what I was feeling when you were speaking about that. And I think, harmonizing both of those aspects. But there might have been a little bit more of the outward. That's that swing of the pendulum, and we're coming back into the more of the inward journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Mm. See, I have the masculine and feminine in a somewhat different context. That's intriguing.
You have it from a male perspective.
Well, perhaps
we have
I do.
We have it from a feminine.
Have you ever come across a gentleman named David Data?
I've heard of him.
I have studied some of his material. He's written quite a number of books, The Superior Man, The Superior Woman, etc. And he's basically devoted his life now for I don't know how many decades to the expression of the divine masculine and divine feminine in the world, especially in relationship. So he works with individuals, works with couples, etc., in an individual and group context. And he's got a very, I think, a really inspired approach to his whole understanding of the masculine and the feminine and how he works with people. So as an example, specifically in relation to human experience, he speaks about the divine masculine in its high a high place is presence. So then if we're saying the divine masculine then is most dominant in males, then the male would be very present, and the female response or the response of the feminine then is to accept that presence, to embrace that presence, and then the feminine radiates. And he's got a great deal around that. That's a very, very quick synopsis. Very interesting material, and he seems to have a very profound impact on everyone who studies his work, especially who goes to workshops with him.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're reminding me of him, because I've been wanting to, dive into his material. So I just looked him up on my computer, and for people listening, it's David. His last name is Deida. If you want to check him out, so it's Data. Is that how it's pronounced?
That's how I pronounce it.
Yeah,
David Data.
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 First time you ever said it to me, Richard, I looked up Data, D-A-T-A.
Yeah, like Star Trek.
Yeah,
like,
he's not an Android.
Not an Android, no. That's not what we're looking for. No Androids here. D-E-I-D-A. And, he does have quite a bit of interesting work out there. Mm-hmm. But that still, to me, said something similar to what Leela was saying, Richard, is that you said the feminine was embracing. Well, that's taking within.
Feminine is embracing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's taking in. That's the in.
Well, see, okay. So does anyone have any comments or questions? If not,
this is
perhaps...
Dilly.
Yes,
hi. Hi, Dilly. Hi. I'm not very good at speaking or anything, but what I feel is that when we're in spirit form, we are androgynous beings, and that when we incarnate on the earth, that's when we split, and that creates duality. It's part of the duality of living on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it seems as if we're heading towards that perfect balance place. Where it's equal, the male and female, but to androgynous beings. And to me, that feels more like the perfect balance of what we can create on the earth, where there is no separation.
You mean like balancing the male and female within each of us?
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And... you know, in a way, it causes separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I, your thoughts and your feelings on that?
Hmm. Well, it sounds somewhat familiar to, you know, what I'm feeling too, because I know that in my journeys, I've not always shown up as a woman. You know, my soul has the ability to send me here as a man, too. And, you know, and I've experienced all kinds of different roles. So in that sense, you know, I'm really kind of exploring from a soul level. That would look androgynous. Yeah, you go ahead and jump in, Richard. I'm exploring within myself here.
So it's this is simply an exploration. None of us, you know, has the truth for someone else. At least that's how I tend to look at it. Mm-hmm. So in my experience, third dimensional experience tends to be generally in the masculine or the feminine, and that the embodiment, or pardon me, the divine feminine and divine masculine is actually, it actually goes to quite high levels within this universe and beyond this universe. But it's not meant to be polarizing or separating. It's really about a dynamic interaction. It's like, it's kind of like really good dance partners. When you watch them, there's this flow that happens between them, and they're both part of that flow. And for me, the masculine and the feminine is part of how that flow is manifest and played out throughout creation. So my own experience with other beings is there are some androgynous beings in third and fourth dimension, but there's a tendency generally in what I've encountered to be more masculine or feminine. And then as we get into the higher dimensional levels of experience, then there's less and less of that manifesting in masculine or feminine form.
Mm-hmm.
So it does tend to be more androgynous. But for me, the androgynous is not a lack of masculine or feminine. It's a balance of masculine and feminine.
Yes.
Ah. Okay.
That's very balanced.
Yes.
And so that's how that in my experience, that's how that's how it tends to play out.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hmm.
So I don't know how that fits with you. And
it's a beautiful opinion. And I'm just trying to feel my way around and see where everybody's at. I have to say that I'm a good friend of Leela's, and I've really enjoyed listening to all of you.
Oh, we enjoyed the conversation.
Glad you jumped in, too.
Yeah, I'm glad you popped into the conversation. That's wonderful. Yeah. It's always nice to hear where you know, everyone else is coming from. And, you know, I think... You know, for us facilitating these conversations, it's good when we hear from other people. It gives us an opportunity to, you know, perceive things in a different way and expand our consciousness, too, and that's the name of the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah, are there any other questions, comments? Anything? Anybody want to break into a song and dance routine? Besides me? Oh, wow.
Well, since we still have a bit of time left, I'll make one other comment here. And that is in my explorations of the masculine and feminine principles within consciousness, the place I'm at this point is that for me, the feminine is very receptive. Like, I don't mean man or woman, nothing to do with the manifestation directly in that way. I mean the principle itself, the feminine principle for me is very receptive, is very embracing, is very giving. So as an example, the feminine would radiate this to me would be, you know, of the nature of the feminine principle then is always giving out. And for me then, the feminine is both the, I'll put it this way, the void and the womb of creation all comes through the feminine principle. And so the feminine is also the space in which all of that creation is being expressed moment by moment. And the manifestation and the energy of, so in other words, what's brought forth into that space, the form, the energy, all of that is all part of the feminine principle. So in the view that I have at this point, the masculine, the feminine is also completely at peace. The feminine is completely comfortable and embracing of everything exactly the way it is. So the masculine side, the masculine principle, is holds the desire for something new, holds the intention to bring forth something that's not already expressed in creation or being expressed in creation. So then the approach that David Data speaks about is he talks about when the masculine is very present and clear, then the masculine can penetrate the feminine with that presence and with that clarity and with that intention. And then when all of that is, I'll say, right, then the feminine embraces that and then radiates and brings it forward. So then the other part of that dance, for me, is then for the masculine, is then when the masculine is grateful for that, is that's the giving back. And that this is very much how society, to me, has gotten very out of balance. Society has become very masculine. There's the constant demand for, I want the next thing. I want the next car, the next house, the next relationship, the next toy, the next distraction, become very, very masculine. And the society, to me in general, is way out of balance with this, in that there's no appreciation then for what's being brought forth. So then there's no concern with essentially raping the planet, just taking everything. There's no gratitude there. And that as we come more into balance, what, you know, my sense is that what's going to happen is there's going to be return to the fullness of the masculine and the feminine in expression through men and women. And that there's going to be this awakening of gratitude. And as that starts to happen, and this gratitude and appreciation, then we're going to move away from the desire to have more and more and try to fill that hole that can't be filled because we're not in touch with our own essence, with the source within. That, to me, that's what so many are trying to do. On a mass level, that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not having that experience of source, or not having the, at least not insufficiently, I'll put it that way. We've become so much in this feeling of isolation in our own little worlds that we try to fill that with distractions. The bigger house, the bigger cars, more relationships, more money, more whatever it is. And this is all part of what is shifting as we're coming more into the balance of the masculine and the feminine. Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
That is really beautiful to me, that part that you were, how you were describing the masculine coming in and the feminine radiating outward. I had some really pretty inner visions on that on that one. And,
that to me is the cosmic dance.
Yeah.
That's the dance of the masculine and the feminine. And you know, that dance is meant to happen within each of us individually. It's meant to happen between us, between men and women. And it's just, it's part of the whole unfolding of creation. It's this dance. And when either of the partners gets out of balance, then the dance doesn't flow anymore. It gets jerky and it, you know, things start to fall apart. And that's what I see going on.
And I just want to, I want to say too, it's, I don't think it's just within men and women. I think it's even in homosexual relationships that dance happens.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to, you know, include
that. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, my, there are a number of friends of mine who are in a non-traditional relationship. And what I find is they have the same challenges as any other relationship. In some of them, I see more love than I see in the heterosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I tend to observe is one tends to take on more of a masculine type of role and one tends to take on more of a feminine type of role, and I find that very interesting. Now maybe I'm unique in terms of that seems to be there with friends, you know, I know, but I wonder if that's not, if it's not, as it were, you know, the feminine, the masculine principles playing out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just considering that with some of the people I know, and I think I see an interplay that there are times when one may be expressing more masculine than the other, and then I think it dances in a different way, that may fade back, and the other will be perhaps with a more masculine energy. You know what I mean? I just get a feeling that with some people it happens that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But that other part about filling our lives with things, and I think in some ways that speaks back to that unworthiness aspect, because there's always something better. Or if I have that, I'll be better. I'll be enough if I have that or this or, and that's, you know, fed to us through the media, which more and more people are beginning to turn away from, like we were talking earlier. So it's I do really feel that we're on a very positive upswing, even though sometimes it looks pretty bad out there in the world. But
I like what Eckhart says. He says his observation is things are getting better and they're getting worse at the same time. However, the aspects that are getting worse, the ones supporting that, make a lot of noise.
Mm.
So we tend to notice that more.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets more reported.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's good. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
Well, this has been a wonderful exploration.
Oh, it has been.
It has been, yes.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I also just want to invite anybody who hasn't ever read my Vibe Report to go to my website. Probably by tomorrow afternoon, I think I'll have the new Vibe Report up, because I'm just excited to share it with everyone, and you could subscribe to it on the website. It's soultransitions.com.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. It's been really wonderful talking with you all. Yeah.
Oh, it is great.
I look forward to reading the new report.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to be online tomorrow looking for that report there, Leela.
Okay. It requires so much editing and rereading, and I really put a lot into it. And I have to let go of some of that because, you know, there's no perfection. But I don't know. I'm into writing, and so I do like it when it flows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been That's what happens. And then I like to insert pictures because I'm also an artist, and I do get a lot of inner visions that I paint and draw, so I include some of those into the vibe report as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a whole nother language.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
absolutely,
yeah.
It is. Yeah. One more thing before we wrap things up, Leela. I talked earlier about my sense of the Bancroft area and, you know, what I feel to be present here. If you would take a moment and share what your sense is of what's here and, you know, why we've all been gathering in this place.
Yeah, thanks. Well, when I first came here, probably would have been sometime in 2011, Ernst, my now husband, was showing me, he had a cottage here, and we were discussing moving in to get merging our lives and my coming up here. And so anyway, he was saying, should we move to Bancroft? And I was just feeling into the area and had a good vibe of a thriving, growing something or other, even though that doesn't appear to be happening. But, you know, so it's kind of funny because some people might say Bancroft, but however, there is something, and I feel it moving under the earth. And then when I found out about it being the gem capital of Canada, and it's like, oh yeah, well, it's that vibration. And I don't know what's directly under us here where we live, but we were renting a house for a year, and there I could just tune into this like a river of rose quartz and white quartz crystal, like just flowing through that particular spot on Robinson Lake. And so there's all kinds of flows happening. And actually, and now that I'm talking about it, I'm getting that there's something very grounding here where I am, which is really good for me since I tend to be out there in the ethers a lot. But
floating away.
Yeah. And then, as I mean, I've only lived here since October 2012, and this whole community has opened up. I'm amazed at the friendships that we've created and the events that we go to and share in. And in just 2 years, I mean, it's incredible. And and the people I talk to, we all marvel at, like, wow, we all came here from other places. And isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Like, we're just drawn here, and it's like a really strong spiritual community without being stuffy, a spiritual community, without being real egotistical. Where I used to live, that there was a big spiritual community, but I felt there were so many egos involved, and that's, you know, a lot of people clamoring, look at me, I do this, I do that, and here it's more about collaborating, like we are.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
That's thrive, collaboration, not competition.
Absolutely.
And not to mention then the musicians and the artists that are here, and I just hope more and more will be drawn here. But I have heard there was some party I was at, there was a real estate agent talking about some artist from Toronto moving up, and that there are, that draw is happening. So I think we are going to thrive here. We wouldn't be here, because I was, in my intention and Ernst's intention was to be in a place that was thriving and alive. And this is where we came, and that I really trust that. I trust my intentions that they've manifested so beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So stay tuned, because it's growing. It's just at the beginning of something wonderful.
Yeah, and I agree. We have some of the most profound and yet humble spiritual people, yoga instructors, massage therapists, readers, healers that I've ever come across in this area. And then I go, wow, and I live here too.
Yeah, no accident.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. So Yeah. Thanks for sharing your take on that, because I feel something bubbling here, you know, and it feels like it's been, you know, kind of kept under wraps and it's just getting ready to come out or something. That's a feeling I have.
Yeah, and it may not have been something that was valued,
uh-huh.
but because of our growing consciousness and awakening,
mm-hmm.
this kind of what we do and the energy is becoming more and more valued. And
mm-hmm.
as people let go of all the stuff they want to accumulate, there's less
yeah.
and less of that happening. And wanting to find community. And
oh, yeah.
You know, so that's what's here, is that kind of community.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Leela.
It's
after 10 okay. o'clock now, and boy, we could burn through some time really, really easily, eh?
Yeah, but my brain is starting to go into fry zone anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So on that note, we'll wrap things up. And again, Leela's website, soultransitions.com, our website, heartofunity.com. And and we look forward to doing this again next month. And tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock is our teleclass on psychic and intuitive development. And so information about that is on our website under the teleclass conference tab. So on that note, I say good night, everybody. Thank you so much, Leela, and, of course, my wonderful partner here, Richard.
And thank you to everyone on the phone.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you both. And, again, yes, thank you to everyone who tuned in to share their energy with us tonight.
Yes. Awesome.
Have a wonderful mm-hmm. evening.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.